One place the Clinton Foundation has focused its attention and millions of dollars is Haiti. That's where we turn to now, to a story we've been following for 6 years. The deadly cholera epidemic in Haiti that's sickened hundreds of thousands of people and killed more than 9,000. This week, the United Nations finally acknowledged some responsibility for the outbreak, which has been linked to poor sanitation at a UN peacekeeping base. Journalist Jonathan Katz knows the story inside and out. What role did the UN play in creating the cholera epidemic in Haiti?
They caused it. It's actually very straightforward. There was no cholera in Haiti. There had never been a documented case of cholera before in the nation's entire history. And the very, very first cases of cholera that have ever been confirmed in Haiti were confirmed in the fall of 2010. And the first cases were people who got sick and several of them died in the area right around a base full of United Nations peacekeepers who had just come from their home country, Nepal, where there was an active cholera epidemic.
So what happened was the camp is set up and basically sewage gets into the water supply of Haiti and causes the cholera epidemic.
Yeah, that's essentially right. The peacekeeping mission had been there since 2004. So 2010 is when the epidemic starts. And there was a regular rotation of peacekeepers. Every 6 months, basically, a new crop comes in. And a new contingent, a fresh contingent of peacekeepers from Nepal came into an existing base that had been there for years. It had had terrible sanitation for years, and people had known about that for years. There was no screening. They came from an active cholera outbreak. And the sanitation at the base was disastrous. And there were many, many different problems in terms of the sanitation infrastructure at that base that made it possible and frequently happened that human waste sloughed from the base into the river that the people around it depended on for drinking water, for washing, for bathing, and that some also used as a toilet themselves. But because this pathogen had never existed in Haiti before, it had never been an issue before, and nobody had immunity to it either. So once the bacteria was introduced and people started drinking the contaminated water and then using the river for their own purposes, it spread like wildfire.
For Haitians, the fact that it's the UN that is the cause of this cholera epidemic, that means a lot to them. I mean, in a very negative way. Why?
So the relationship between the UN and Haiti goes back a very long way, and it's a complicated one. In terms of the peacekeeping mission, MINUSTAH, the UN stabilization mission in Haiti, which caused the cholera outbreak, that's the mission that had been there since 2004. And that is, at the time of the outbreak, there were 13,000 MINUSTAH troops, foreign troops wearing blue helmets, stationed all over the country. They were the most powerful force in the country. They were the most visible force in the country. Haiti has no military. MINUSTAH, the UN, was more powerful than the army. Just going about your daily life in almost any part of Haiti, a part of life was seeing soldiers from other countries driving around in armored personnel carriers with 50 caliber weapons and carrying assault rifles. And people had different feelings about the peacekeeping mission. Some people appreciated some of the things they did, and some people resented them as an occupying force. But once the cholera epidemic began, and not only did it become clear fairly rapidly that the United Nations had caused it, but that the United Nations was dissembling about it, people became extremely resentful. And all of a sudden, you had this foreign force that was on their soil that was responsible for what was essentially a kind of industrial accident that was killing hundreds and then thousands of people. And nothing's going to sour a relationship more quickly than that.
What did the statement from the office of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon say exactly? I mean, to what degree is the UN accepting responsibility?
So what they said was they described their own involvement. And it was that little word, that personal pronoun, O-W-N, own, that really, really was like a siren going off. Because for 6 years, the UN has refused to answer questions. They have, at the very beginning, peacekeepers were actually destroying evidence. They were encouraging people not to look for the source. They were discouraging journalists who were asking questions about it. And they just didn't want to talk at all in any way about being linked to the start of this epidemic 6 years ago.
Now, once you introduce something like cholera, is it there forever or can it be eradicated in Haiti?
It is essentially going to be there forever in a sense. Once you have a strain of cholera in a country, typically speaking, cholera experts tell me it essentially buries deep into the ground. It can be there for years, for decades, for a very long time, sort of waiting for the right moment to strike again. The thing to keep in mind is the places in the world that had the worst cholera outbreaks that have ever been recorded were places like London, New York, Hamburg, Tokyo. And if you go into the soil under a place like New York City or Chicago or other places that dealt with major cholera epidemics in the 19th century, you will probably find cholera there. Modern public health in the Western world was invented in the 19th century to stop cholera epidemics. And one of the things that was invented was the modern sewer system. The first one installed in London was created specifically to stop people from dying from cholera. If the proper investment is made in Haiti to build water treatment and sanitation systems that can keep people from drinking water or eating food that has been contaminated with waste that contains the cholera bacteria, you can stop people from getting cholera. And the real crime, one of the major, major and saddest things that have happened in the wake of this epidemic, is that Haiti, which has never had proper water treatment and has never had adequate sanitation for the 10 million people who live in the country, still doesn't. And even though the United Nations and its member states have talked about the need to improve water and sanitation practices in the wake and in the face of a cholera epidemic, that hasn't been done.
Well, where does this leave Haiti?
It is really unclear what's going to happen now. The legal case in the United States has hit a major snag. Just yesterday, the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit ruled that the United Nations cannot be sued in U.S. courts. But there's a possibility now that that case could be appealed up to the Supreme Court. And another possibility is that the U.N., with its new position that is taken this week, claiming some kind of responsibility, may actually undergo some kind of program or plan to actually put its money where its mouth is and actually address the cholera epidemic. And by the way, the biggest factor in that, I think, maybe of all, is whether the United States, which contributes a quarter of funds to UN peacekeeping, is going to allow that to happen.
Jonathan, what's your takeaway? You were the one who broke the story about the cholera epidemic. It's now 6 years on. What do you take away from all this?
I think the most important thing is accountability. I think the real thing that this story represents in terms of the world and the way the world functions or should function is that powerful people don't always hold themselves accountable, but there need to be mechanisms, there need to be systems to hold powerful people, powerful countries, powerful entities responsible for the things they do in places where people are very, very vulnerable.
Jonathan Katz has been reporting on Haiti and the cholera epidemic there for years. He's the author of The Big Truck That Went By, How the World Came to Save Haiti and Left Behind a Disaster. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you.